please open your Bibles to 1 Samuel, chapter number 7. And we'll start by reading, first we'll read 10 verses, and then we'll comment from there. 1 Samuel chapter 7, and we're going to begin reading at verse number 3. We've already read verses 1 and 2. Verse number 3, "And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, If ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth, and served the Lord only. And Samuel said, Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together to Mizpah, and drew water, and poured it out before the Lord, and fasted on that day, and said there, We have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines, and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under Beth-car. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. So the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more into the coast of Israel, and the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel." Heavenly Father, as we study this passage of Scripture, help us to see, Lord, how wonderfully you have given us yet another salvation example. Help us to learn from this passage here today, Lord, all of the elements that are necessary to lead a person to Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, most of you, I think all of you, you're familiar. You know that all we're doing is going through this book of the Bible. And we start at verse number 1 and we go right through that book of the Bible until we finish it. That way we allow God, by His Holy Spirit, to determine what message He wants you to hear. Well, we don't pick and choose on the basis of who we think might be in attendance. We don't look around as people come in the morning and then, you know, go rush over to a file cabinet somewhere and grab a particular sermon. We just go right through a Bible book. And so if you're here this morning, this message is what God wanted you to hear today. He had our study fall in this passage of Scripture. He had you walk through that door and occupy that seat. And at the same time, because this is what God Almighty wants us to hear from His Word. And that gets me off the hook, because you don't have to sit there and say, well, that preacher just said that because of me. Or he just said that because I'm here. Has nothing to do with me. It puts you in the position where you're not dealing with Brother Bob, you're not dealing with what this preacher has to say. You must be aware this morning that these verses of Scripture were ordained of God for your hearing this morning. Now, we don't cover or preach on the same thing week in and week out because of the way we do this. When you go through the Bible, you find out that there's all kinds of things in this Bible God wants addressed. But what we have this morning is as clear a biblical teaching on the matter of salvation that you'll ever see. It's as clear a biblical teaching on the matter of a saved person that's wandered from God, getting right with God, that you'll ever find anywhere in the Bible. And so I want you to be willing this morning. I mean, look, you took the time and you took the effort this morning to wash and to clean yourself up, to put on some decent clothes, and to travel as far as you did to get here this morning. And it's a weekend, and a lot of you work 6 days a week, and this is the only day you've got off. And it cost you something. It cost you some time. It cost you some effort. You spent yourself a little bit in order to be here today. So why not just do one more thing and say, God, speak to my heart today and make the trip worthwhile and get what God has for you today. And you just might be surprised. You might even be amazed at what the Lord will do in your life if you just let him here in this next few minutes. Now, first of all, in verse number 3, we're in 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse number 3, we have Samuel preaching. First of all, we have Samuel preaching. In verse 5, we have Samuel praying. In verse 9, we have Samuel offering. And in verse 12, we have Samuel praising. So let's look first of all at the preaching of Samuel. I'm not God. If I was God, I might have done things differently. If I was God, I would probably have tried to come up with some great elaborate scheme or some wonderful religion with all sorts of things that you'd have to do and things to look up and things to be involved in. If I was God, I might have come up with something that would have been a total disaster because it would have excluded someone from my plan and my purpose. The Bible says that it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The Bible says that the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. You have to marvel at a God who doesn't say, crawl up a mountain on your knees, or raise $1 million and contribute to the church, or do this, do that, do the other thing. You have to marvel at a God who says, I'll tell you what you do. I'll show you one, I'll show one man my truth. That man will tell you what I told him. And if you'll believe what he tells you, I will save you on the basis of belief. You got to marvel at a God like that. Because you know what that is? That is a way of salvation devised by God that anybody and everybody can have a part in. If it was money involved, some people would be excluded. If it was education, some people would be left out. If it was gifts or attainments or deeds or skills, some people would be left out. But if it's simply a matter of believing something God says, anybody can have part in that. Anybody. No one's left out. And God knows that. Now, Samuel's preaching is Bible preaching. It's a sad thing. In our day and age, there are people this morning all over town that are going to do what most of you did. They're going to get up, wash, put on their Sunday go-to-meeting clothes, even though it's Friday. They're going to go to church wanting to be saved, wanting to get right with God, wanting a true relationship with the Lord. And someone is going to come in and he's going to tell them, now here's what I want you to do. When the pitcher throws the ball, you swing and you hit the ball. And as soon as you hit the ball, what you do is you run as fast as you can to second base. Well, that violates, I know most of you here, you're not familiar with baseball, but you ought to at least understand you don't start at number two, right? What happened to first base? I think you can figure that out. When that violates the rules of the game if he tells you to run straight to second base. That'll get you disqualified. That'll get you thrown out. You can't go from there to home where you're aiming for. Okay? So it doesn't matter how hard you hit the ball, doesn't matter how fast you can run. If you go directly to second base, you're out. You're done. You've got to go to first base before you can get to second base. You got to go to second base before you can get to third base. You got to go to third base before you can get home. We've got people nowadays, they're trying to play cricket instead of baseball. They're just running back and forth between second base and home base. I don't know. I guess when they invented cricket, they didn't have enough money to buy first and third base. I don't know. I haven't figured that game out. Anyway, what we got in our churches nowadays, we have a man stand up and he preaches and he says, Jesus died on a cross, believe on Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. And you know what he just tried to get you to do? Run to second base and home base, but forget all about first and third base. You're out. What is first base? Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only. And then he will deliver you. And then he will deliver you. I'm going to say something that's only said by a handful of preachers and a handful of churches anymore all around this earth. But this is God's honest truth. You are not saved by works. You're not saved by good deeds. You're not saved by stopping sin and beginning to live right. But until you turn from your gods, your idols, your vain works, and your sins, God is not going to save you by his grace. Listen, over in Japan, for example, the missionary goes to Japan and labors and has a terrible time. He goes into the Japanese home, and up there on the display, the mantel place there, are all kinds of family gods and idols. This is the god of rice. This is the god of fish. This is the god that helps my wife cook. This is the god that keeps the snakes out of the yard. This is the god that keeps my neighbor from giving me a hard time. They've got all these gods, all these idols, and you go in there, a Christian missionary, and you say, Jesus came to this earth. Jesus is God. Jesus died. Jesus rose again. Would you like to receive Jesus? And the Japanese man says, oh, yes, sir, I would like to receive Jesus as God. And you go back and you see that man the next week, just as any missionary, I'm just asking anybody that's served in Japan, if this isn't the truth, you go back the next week and you look on that display and there's the rice god, there's the fish god, the cooking god, the snake out of the yard god, the help my neighbors get along with me god, and Jesus god. Up there on that mantelpiece. And another god. Just another of those vain gods. And you got people all over town this morning. They want to go to a church where they can have their sin God, their pleasure God, their money God, their popularity God, and Jesus up there on the mantelpiece with them. They want Jesus. They want the God of the Bible, but not at the expense of all the sin and all the other things that they're living for and worshiping. Not willing to give up anything to get Jesus. Well, that's not Bible salvation. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And God told those people, He wrote it in stone on the holy mountain. He said, thou shalt have no other gods. That's what He told them. Now we're going to get to second base. We're going to get to third base. And we'll get to home base. I believe Jesus saves freely by His grace. I believe salvation is a gift of God. You don't earn it. You can't buy it. You could never be good enough for God to save you. But God looks on the hearts of men and women this morning all around this world, and He's not looking for somebody that wants Christ to come into their life. He's looking for somebody to say, I don't have any life. He's not looking for somebody to let Jesus help them with their problems. He's looking for somebody that will leave their problems and come to Jesus. He's not looking for somebody that wants Jesus as icing on their cake of sin. He's looking for somebody that will dump that cake in the trash can and come to Jesus Christ and say, I'm hungry for You. I'm tired of this sin. I'm tired of this world. I'm tired of this devilment. I want to leave that all behind. So that's what Samuel told them. He said, first things first. Get rid of those gods. Get rid of those things that you're worshiping. Get rid of that sin that you're living in. And then we'll talk about God delivering you. Amen. Amen. I hope you know, Jesus Christ is not a sinner. God is not sinful. The Holy Spirit is holy and hates wickedness. And you can invite Jesus Christ to come into a dirty, filthy life if you want to, but He's not going to do it. You say, I'm tired of sin. I'm tired of wickedness. God, make me clean. He'll clean you up, and then He'll come in. See, that's not what's being preached nowadays. Suppose you have a prison ministry. You go to that prison, and you meet a young man who's killed somebody, raped somebody, done some terrible thing, or else he wouldn't be there. But and that's what prison is. That it's a lockup for big-time criminals. That's what it's for. So you go in there, and a fella says, well, I've been saved 3 times. Well, he hadn't been saved 1 time. He's prayed 3 sinners' prayers, led by someone that's never dealt with him about sin. That's what happened. You know, you want to be saved, son? Just get on the bus. Well, does the bus save me? No. Get on the bus. You want to be saved, kid? Well, yeah. Okay. Here's a lollipop. Will this lollipop save me? No. Just take the lollipop. You just sit right there, kid. Here's what you do. When you hear us sing the song at the end of the service, you just go down there and repeat what that fella tells you to repeat. And then we'll shake your hand and tell you that you're saved. And so when the preacher comes to see you in jail, you can tell him you're saved and you won't have to listen to the truth. That's not God's salvation. What would you think of a coach, a baseball coach, since that's my example for today, What would you think of a coach that you sent your child to Little League and that coach said, "Now son, when you hit that ball, I want you to run as fast as you can to second base." Man, you would say, "My son's on the wrong team. That guy doesn't know the first thing about baseball." Well, what would you think about sending your child to a Sunday school? What would you think about going to a church where a fella said, "Come down to the altar and ask Jesus to save you," and he never told you about sin and putting away false gods and turning to the Lord with all your heart? He's not telling you the truth. Sin separates between man and God. Sin sent the Son of God into this world. Jesus died on the cross to pay for sin. You've got to be born again because of sin. And if you haven't dealt with the sin problem, you haven't dealt with God on His terms. Put away the strange gods. Return to God with all your heart. Serve God only, then He will deliver you. Now you might say, "I can't do it." You might say, "I'm not able." You might say, "I've tried everything I know to do, and I've turned over enough new leaves that there's no leaves left in the forest. I've turned over every new leaf I can turn over." That's not the point. The point is not that you can attain. The point is not that you can achieve. The point is that God is looking into your heart and trying to see, are you so sick and tired of sin that you're willing to give it up for God? That's what He wants. And that's first base. Now, verse number 4. "Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth and served the Lord only." Verse 5. "And Samuel said, 'Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord.' And they gathered together to Mizpah, and drew water, and poured it out before the Lord, and fasted on that day, and said there, 'We have sinned against the Lord.' And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah." Now, it's time to pray. Now that you have put away the strange gods, now that you've put away the other idols and things that you worship, the Bible says in 2 Samuel, "For we must needs die and are as water spilt on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Neither doth God respect any person." I've got to take all my effort, all my believing, all my striving to be good, I've got to take my entire life and bring it before God like a bucket of water and just pour it out into the ground and watch it disappear down into that soil. It's gone. I mean, why don't you do it? Hey, get a big bucket of water, take it down to the beach one day. Take that bucket of water, set it down in that sand, and just tip it over until all the water spills out. And after you do that, let me see you try to put that water back in the bucket. I mean, I'll tell you what, you can search all day, but that bucket of water is gone. You have poured it out. You can't get it back out of that ground. You can't get it back into the bucket. It is gone. And you know what God wants? He doesn't want a fella coming up here and saying, "Repeat after me, 'God, I'm a sinner. Lord, please save me.'" You know what He wants you to do? He wants you to take all of your efforts, all of your striving and your labors, and take that just like a bucket of water up to the altar and just pour it out and watch it go down into the ground. And just hold that bucket up and say, God, I've got absolutely nothing left. I've got no life. I've got no hope. I've got nothing. I'm poured out like water. I can't save myself. I can't help myself. I can't solve my problems. I can't fix my life. And I'm going to take all my efforts and just pour them out before you and say, God, I am empty. Fill me up. Fill me up. I want to start all over again. You know what we want to do? We want to bring God our life full of sin, full of rebellion, full of ideas, full of education, full of religion, and say, God, would you put a little bit of you in there with it? That's not what the Lord wants. The Lord wants us to take everything we are, everything we have been, everything we have done, everything we've trusted in, and pour it out and become an empty vessel before Him for His Holy Spirit, to fill with His life. That's second base. First base, I'm sick and tired of this life. I'm forsaking it. Second base, God, everything I am, everything I've been, everything I've done, I give it up. It's worthless. It can't do me any good. Look in verse 6. And drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said there, we have sinned. That's not what they said. We have sinned against the Lord. We have sinned against the Lord. You're out there knocking on doors, and those few people that let you into their house, you say, now do you know that you're a sinner according to the Bible? And they'll say, well, yeah, I guess I've done some things wrong. Well, like what? Well, one time I stole from a man. Well, all right, that's wrong, but that's not the point. He says, well, you know, sometimes I kind of cuss. I'm kind of bad about cussing, using bad language. Well, all right, that's something you shouldn't do. But how rare, maybe once in a year, you might hear somebody say, I have sinned against God. God made me. God gave me life. God wants to control my life, and I have sinned against God. It doesn't matter what you've done to me. I'm not the judge. It doesn't matter how you've treated me, how you've treated my wife. I'm not the Lord who sits on the throne in heaven. People say, well, you shouldn't judge people. Well, I'll tell you one thing. You would be better off me judging you than God judging you. I don't know everything, and I'm powerless to do anything about it anyway. But God Almighty, who sits on the throne of glory, who knows every thought, who sees every deed, who is aware of everything you have ever done, who wanted to guide your life, who wanted to control and direct your steps, that God, have you ever sinned against Him? Have you ever broken His commandments? Have you ever failed to be what He wanted you to be? Have you ever come short of His glory? Then never mind what you did to me. Never mind whether you robbed a bank or not. Never mind whether you killed anybody or not. Have you ever sinned against the Lord? Have you ever sinned against the Lord? This sinner's prayer thing, I've read it in the back of 100 tracts. I've seen it in the back of dozens of books. I've heard it in many church altars. Dear God, I'm a sinner. That's not the point. God, I'm a sinner. I want you to forgive my sins. That's not the point. God, I have sinned against you. I, your creature, the work of your hands, I set myself in rebellion against you. Well, I just don't treat people the way I should. That's not the point. Do you treat God the way you should? They said, we've sinned against the Lord. We've sinned against the Lord. You know something? If you sinned against me, I could forgive you. If you sinned against, you know, anybody else in this church, they could forgive you. Okay, we could seek one another's forgiveness and get that thing straightened out. If you've sinned against God, I can't forgive you. No priest in a booth can forgive you. Your Sunday school teacher can't forgive you. If you have sinned against God, you're going to have to figure out a way to get to God and get that thing straightened out. Verse 7, you say, what's the next step? Well, it might surprise you what the next thing is. You say, I'm tired of my old life. I'm going to forsake it. I'm going to come to God and confess that I can't save myself. I can't help myself. I'm going to confess to God that I have sinned against Him. What's the next step? Well, before you get to third base, there's a strange thing. I don't understand it, but there's this fella standing right there between second base and third base, and they call that guy a shortstop. Now, in spiritual terms, you know what that shortstop is? In spiritual terms, he's the devil. See, once you see that you want to leave the old life, once you see that you've got to get forgiven by the God that you have sinned against, before you get to that third base, the devil is going to jump in right there, and he's going to begin to oppose. He's going to begin to hinder. He's going to begin to fight and frustrate your efforts, your attempts to get to God, and the Holy Spirit's efforts to draw you to Jesus Christ. Watch what happens. Perfect picture here. Soon as they pray, as soon as they confess their dependence on God, Bible says in verse 7, and when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us. You know what's going to happen to you? Either it will be in a church service, and you'll be sitting there saying, well, you know, I feel God moving in my heart. I feel that's right. That preacher's telling the truth. I know that's the way it ought to be. Man, I tell you what, when that preacher gets finished with that message, I think I better do something. I'm going to get right with God. And before you can make the next decision in your heart, the devil comes in and sits on your shoulder and he says, you better think about that. How do you know he's telling the truth? And what would they say about you on the job if you do that? Well, you know, you're supposed to go out drinking tonight, man. And if they come and pick you up to go out drinking and you tell them you got saved, you got right with God, man, you better think about this thing. You know how they treat that other guy on the job? Remember that guy you used to work with, with that God religion? Remember what they did to him? That's the devil. I mean, listen, I'm telling you, as soon as you see the need to get right with God, as soon as you decide in your heart you're going to get right with God, here comes the opposition of the devil to try and stop you. Now, am I telling you the truth? You know I'm telling you the truth. Satan hates you. He wants to damn you. He wants to drag you to hell. And it terrifies him to see someone beginning to realize that they have got to get right with God. He hates to see a desire in somebody's heart to get right with God. And so the moment you begin to think right, here comes the devil. Here comes that girl you used to go out with that you haven't seen in 5 years. Here comes that fellow that dumped you, and all of a sudden he wants to pick you up again. Here comes that man that led you into that sin, and when you ran out of money, he didn't want anything to do with you. And here he comes again, wanting to get involved in your life out of the blue. I mean, it's always something. And it'll be different in everybody's life. But I'm telling you, when you hit second base and you begin to round second base and head for third, there's that devil standing right there at shortstop who wants to trip you up. It's opposition. The opposition of this world, the opposition of the devil, the opposition of that old flesh, saying, well, you know, I just don't know if I can live it. Well, I just don't know if I can hold out. I just don't know if I can do what God wants me to do. Well, friends, you know something? If I was out there, for example, in Louisiana when that flood hit, and I saw that water rising and rushing down and beginning to destroy things, and a fella came down there toward me in a boat, do you think I would stand there and say, well, I don't know if that boat can last through the whole flood. Well, I don't know if that boat can get me all the way to where I need to go. Hey, man, whatever chance was offered me, I would take it. I'd take it. You probably heard the story. It's one of those old preacher's stories. It's in all the books that they pass around. There was a flood, and the flood waters kept rising. And this man, he finally gets up on the roof of his house, and he gets on his knees, and he said, God, send me some help. God, send me some help. And so a fella comes by in a boat, and he says, jump in. And the man says, oh, no, thank you. No, thank you. And he prayed again. He said, God, you just got to send me some help. You've got to help me. Send me. You got to get me out of this, God. And so a fella came by next with a helicopter, dropped a rope down. He said, grab hold. And the man said, no, thank you. God's going to help me. And so those floodwaters kept rising until the guy drowned. And he gets up there to heaven and he says, Lord, thanks a lot for the help. Why'd you let me drown? And God said, man, I sent you a boat and a helicopter. What more do you want? See, now, you know what we want? We want God to show up right here this morning in all His splendor, His radiating glory, and walk up to us and put His hand on our shoulder and say, son, you need to repent and trust me as your Savior. He's not going to do that. He's already done it. He came once. He ministered, or He manifested His glory. He died for your sin. He's going to win you now through a man's preaching and your believing. And the devil will try to hinder that. That fellow there at shortstop position, I'll tell you what he'll do. If he can't tackle you altogether, if he can't knock you down altogether and keep you from getting to third base, I'll tell you what he'll do. He'll say, wait a minute, wait a minute. Just let's think this over. Let's just stop for a minute. Not so quick. Don't be in such a hurry. That might be your emotions you're following. You might just be kind of upset. You might want to stop and think this thing over. Yeah. Yeah, you might be in hell for a million years thinking it over too. You might want to just go ahead and get that thing right. You might want to just go ahead and get right with God. Now he says this. What makes the difference? Well, if you've been with us as we came down through this book of 1 Samuel, the Philistines came up to battle against Israel, and those Israelites put on their weapons, and they stuck out their chest, and they marched out into battle, and they got their fannies whipped. They slaughtered them. They killed the priests, captured the Ark of the Covenant. They got wiped out, thinking they could win the battle. Well, they're not thinking that way anymore. Now they're scared. God, I can't fight that devil. God, I can't beat that sin. Lord, I can't change my life. Why, here it comes again. Here comes that problem again. Here comes that temptation again. Here comes that devil again. God, I can't do anything. Now they're ready to win. When they thought they could win, what does the Bible say? Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. 1 Corinthians 10:12. They thought they could whip those Philistines, and they lost that battle. Now they say, there's nothing we can do. We got to have some help. Where did that help come from? Verse number 9. The Bible says, and Samuel took a sucking lamb, a lamb, and offered it for a burnt offering holy unto the Lord. Now, what do we do? There's an enemy out there. He wants to damn our soul. There's opposition there to try to keep us from coming to God. Is there any hope at all? Well, I believe the only hope to be found is in the offering of a lamb. The offering of a lamb. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world and walked the shores and the streets of this world, and he came down to a riverside one day where John the Baptist was preaching. And old John, he'd seen a lot of religious leaders. He'd seen a lot of rabbis. He'd seen a lot of great men in his day. But John, man, he pointed at that Lord Jesus Christ standing up on that shore. What did he say? Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And the Bible says of Jesus, written in the book of Isaiah, he was brought as a lamb to the slaughter. All those Old Testament sacrifices, all those lambs killed on those altars, they were just a little foreview. They were just a little preview of God's lamb that he would send into this world to suffer and bleed and die, offered as a sacrifice to pay for that sin, for that rebellion, for that wickedness. It was the offering of a lamb that made possible victory over their enemies. They had no hope. They prayed. They had forsaken all their idols. They had forsaken their other gods. They poured out their lives before the Lord and said, "We can't do anything." They had seen the opposition coming. And where did they turn? They turned to a lamb that was slain and had its blood shed on that altar. They looked to that lamb for their help. I'll tell you something, friends. Brother Bob can't save you. Brother Bob can't fix your Christian life if you've wandered astray. Bible Believers Baptist Church can't save and can't fix you. I'll tell you who it is. It's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. It's the Lamb of God that'll cleanse you. It's the Lamb of God that will strengthen you. It's feeding on that Lamb that will give you victory. The Bible says that old John looked up there into heaven, and he saw those angels, and he saw those cherubim, and he saw those seraphim, and he saw those mansions, and he saw those streets of gold, and he saw that marvelous throne. And do you know who was sitting there? It was not a mighty soldier. It wasn't a great warrior. It wasn't a tremendous image of a man, a great and mighty man. I saw a lamb in the midst of the throne as it had been slain. I saw a slain lamb on the throne. Do you know who gives you the victory? It's not your military might. It's not political might. It's not education. It's not even religion. It's the Lamb of God sitting on in the midst of that throne. You say, I've turned from my ways. I'm tired of it. And I've poured out all that I am. It's gone. Down in the dust. I can't trust myself anymore. I've seen the opposition. I've determined to fight through it. If you from sin are longing to be free, look to the Lamb of God. He, to redeem you, died on Calvary. Look to the Lamb of God, for He alone is able to save you. Look to the Lamb of God. All right, now, verse number 9. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. Now you're ready to pray. Tired of my sin, first base. Give up on myself, second base. Fought through the opposition of the devil, that shortstop. I'm going to trust that lamb. Now I'm ready to pray. Now I'm ready. Boy, when you hit third base, let me tell you something. Before you even reach home, there's no big ugly catcher there with his mask on and his big shin guards and everything else. No, there's a father standing there with open arms saying, come on, son, I'll receive you. Come on, I've guaranteed you safety. Come on, son, there's nobody here to stop you now. Come on home, come on home. I'll receive you. Look what it says, verse 10. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. So, what happens? Before they're even finished with that offering, before that prayer meeting is even completed, God Almighty steps on the scene, destroys their enemies, confounds their opposition, defeats them entirely, sends them running away scared. He grants the victory the moment they turn to the Lamb. The moment they called on God, having come to God the right way, having come to God the Bible way, the moment they came to God, they rounded that third base, and before they even got home, God said, I'm the Savior, I am the Deliverer, I am the Safety, I will give the victory. Before they even touched home base, the thunder, and the lightning began to rain down on those Philistines. They began to flee. They began to run. Let me tell you something. All those habits, all those vices, all those problems, all those hang-ups, all that opposition of Satan. Let me tell you something. The minute you forsake other gods and yourself and you look to the Lamb, God will begin to thunder down upon your enemies. God will begin to rain His judgments down upon the devil. And He'll send that enemy fleeing away, and He'll give you the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I tell you, you get to that place, you finally get out of that chair and you start down that aisle heading up towards the altar, and you just don't see any way in the world that you'll even ever get there. And if you do get there, you don't know what's waiting for you. And before your knees hit the ground, you feel that peace of God begin to flood your heart. Amen. That's the truth. Verse 11. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under Bethcar. Man, once God puts the devil on the run, well, it's nothing to go out there and chase a guy and shoot a guy that's running away. You know, sending arrows towards a fellow who's fleeing from you as fast as he can. That's the Christian life. The Christian life isn't defeating the devil. The Christian life is not conquering your enemies. It's just running out after them saying, hey, wait up. Where are you going? That's the Christian life. Because God, He won the victory. God's given deliverance. God has conquered all our foes. All we do is go out in the power of the Lord and in His might and enjoy the remnant of the victory. Verse 12, we see Samuel praising. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Do you have an Ebenezer somewhere where you can say, on this day, at that place, God Almighty saved me? On this day, in that place, God Almighty delivered me from my enemies. If you have one of those, you ought to thank God for it. You ought to thank God for that. If you don't have that Ebenezer, I'll tell you what you ought to do. In about the next 3 minutes, we'll be singing a hymn. And you know what I'd do? I'd leave where I was sitting, and I'd come right down here, and I'd come right down here, and I'd stay here with, right there with some dear Christian man or woman praying until I could stand to my feet and say, right here, I raised my Ebenezer. I'm home safe. I have turned from my other gods. I have turned from myself. I came to the Lamb. I called upon His name, and He has wrought for me wonderfully and given me the victory. I wouldn't leave here this morning unless I could leave, instead of being chased by the devil, unless I could leave running to his heels saying, you're defeated, foe. You're defeated, foe. The Lamb has set me free. I wouldn't leave here this morning without the victory that God can give through the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Amen. Would you stand? We'll pray and then we will sing. Father in heaven, thank you so much for again showing us the wonders of your holy scriptures and how even here in 1 Samuel we can see a very clear salvation message and the importance of every single part of it. Father, I'm pretty sure I know everyone that's here this morning and that they are confident that they have trusted in the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, to save their souls. But if I'm wrong, Lord, I pray you've been speaking to that heart and that they recognize their need to put away the things they have been trusting in, stop trusting in themselves, and turn to the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Brother?